You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Bomb back down.
I said Friday that I hope Jerry Jones would figure a way to keep Tyron Smith in Dallas and that his this cinched first ballot Hall of Famer would figure out a way to retire a Cowboy. Nope, sorry. Tyron Smith soon signed a one-year deal with the Jets for what could be worth up to about $20 million with incentives. Keyshawn, scale of 1 to 10, how much will the Cowboys miss your USC zone Ty Smith?
I would say a 10, Skip.
Yeah.
I mean, it's big.
I'm not going to fight you on this.
It's big. I mean, when you look at it, the Cowboys couldn't do that deal. They couldn't do a salary of 6.5 with incentives that were pushing close to 20, maybe not 20, but close enough. And his incentives are probably tied to games played in games won. That's probably what they are tied to.
I would think.
When you look at the Cowboys with him in the lineup, since 2020, they're 20-10. When he's in the starting lineup,
that 20, works.
They're 22-15 when he's not in the starting lineup since 2020.
Not huge, but still significant.
And I understand the injuries that he's had and missed some time and all that, but you can't keep a Hall of Fame bookend left tackle that was just, when he was on the field last year, it was a nightmare. Some of those games that I watched, those defenders would rush and they would just quit. they would literally just give up and say, you know what, never mind, I'm not ever getting to the quarterback. When you talk about the depth chart, so they're going to move Tyler Smith over to the left side.
Yeah.
T.J. Bass is going to be the left guard, two starts, undrafted free agent, okay? So he's undrafted, two starts. Doesn't mean anything. Means, guys miss, but he's undrafted. The center, undrafted guy from Virginia Tech as well, in Brock Hoffman. Mm-hmm. Then you got Zach Martin, and then you got Terrence Steele at the right tackle. That certainly does not feel like murderer's row for the offensive line, and you're now going to have to pay a quarterback a boatload of money, by the way, who just gave you a little bit of cap relief. Just a little bit.
Yep.
They gave you a little $5 million cap relief. You're going to give him $4 million of real money early.
Yep.
That helps the team out. But in the end, you lose an anchor that's been an anchor of your offensive line forever. And I just don't understand. I don't understand what Jerry and company saw. Mm. I really don't. The Jets won this one. The Jets and Aaron Rodgers, they should be jumping for joy, especially if he can stay healthy.
To your point, to that point, he was only healthy 33 of his last 63 games. But also to your point, when he was right, there's nobody more right in the league than he was. And last year, he was pretty right as far as health went for the most part. Was he on the field when they fell behind 27-0 in their home playoff game to the Green Bay Packers, the youngest team? Yes, he was. So I can't defend that part.
What is he going to?
Yeah, I understand. but to your other bigger point, when I watched, as we watched them very closely last year, there was play after play after play. When I saw, 77? Is that what the number? 77. Yeah. I would fixate on who was trying to rush through 77, and they would just get engulfed, where they would just quit because he just smothers people. He just envelops people. And he doesn't have a big personality, so we don't know him off the field very well. He doesn't speak much to the media. I don't know if you ever crossed his path or get to know him.
He's a nice guy, but offensive linemen really don't. It's just not their deal.
No, it wasn't his deal unless you're
meat, potatoes, and blocks.
Jason Kelsey or somebody.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. All right. So now I ask you this. Tyron Smith or T.J. Bass? You know, like Tyron Smith or Brock Hoffman, you just pointed out. Okay, so you mentioned T.J. Bass. He started a couple of games last year, and he was quiet over there, so I guess it was pretty good. And yet he was undrafted out of Oregon.
And that's okay.
You know,
that's not saying that he can't play. There's been plenty of players that have gone undrafted in the National Football League that went on to have success.
And
careers.
Brock Hoffman started a couple of games at center last year, undrafted as a – he's a second-year player. T.J. Bass is a rookie, but a second-year player out of Virginia Tech. And I guess it went pretty well because I didn't hear his name called. I didn't hear holding. I didn't say, oh, my God. I guess he was pretty good. And Terrence Steele, undrafted out of Texas Tech, over at the right tackle, they finally paid him because he was pretty good. He's had some shaky games, but he's been generally – pretty to very good. So there's undrafted, undrafted, undrafted. Are you telling me we're going to go with three undrafteds across the offensive line with Zach Martin getting another year older and he's still played at an extremely high level? But you know, and I know, it's one of these points, it's going to start to decline. It just will, because he's getting up there in not only age, but in plays played. He's starting to take a lot of punishment over there at the right guard position. Okay. Tyler Smith played left tackle at Tulsa, for what it's worth, but he found a home, a more comfortable home at left guard, where in the interior he could dominate, he could just be more of himself. He was a high penalized player, still is a high penalized player in pro football, but if you put him out there at left tackle, he's probably going to have to clutch and grab a little bit more, and he's going to get more holds called, and the refs seem to look for him.
Moving somebody from right to left. You're moving somebody from left guard to left tackle.
Yeah.
So his natural position, like you said, at Tulsa, he was a grabber. He held on for dear life at times. That was just part of who he was, but he still was a first-round pick.
He was.
He still was a guy that people looked at and was like, well, we can fix that. Can the Cowboys fix it? Maybe. Yeah. Is he going to give you the same sort of stuff that Tyron Smith gave you? And I would argue to you and say, no, he's not. Because that dude was a road killer. He was still, he's one of the top three left tackles in the game. Still, to this day.
I can make a case he's top one. When he's healthy,
you can make a case. Yeah, you can make that case.
Listen, $20 million with incentives, that could be a steal of a deal for the Jets. If they're going to load up. I assume OBJ is going to go there. I assume that they're going to try to load back up and prop back up Aaron and see if he can get through a year unscathed and see if they can hit the lottery.
You can't tell me that the Dallas Cowboys couldn't come up with something close to this deal. You just can't tell me that.
Yeah.
And he's already at home. So let's say it wasn't a $20 million package. Let's say it was a $16 million package. He wouldn't have took that to stay with the Cowboys?
Boy, you
y'all
so.
Scream and holler. Everybody wants to be the Cowboys, the star. He moved on from you.
I think he made a pretty strong statement. I like Aaron Rodgers' chances. By the way, Aaron Rodgers has owned the Dallas Cowboys, so he's seen Aaron up close and personal in way too many big games and playoff games. And he just said, you know what? I'm going to wind down my career. I'm going to take a shot there. I got a better shot there than I got in Dallas.
So now it's Dak Prescott versus Aaron Rodgers is why he made his decision.
Well, I don't doubt that
concerned.
That had some it played some part
or maybe he felt burned by y'all because he's your Hall of Fame left tackle, and you decided to let him go on the open market because you felt like, and I know Steven and Jerry, they think like this. They feel like when a guy hits the open market that he can't get what he's looking for at the open market, and they've missed out on that so many times.
Yeah.
They have many times.
Many, many times. All right, so don't underestimate. So they got the 23rd pick in the first round, and they will use it on an offensive lineman, I will bet you right here, right now.
Most likely.
And their third or fourth round pick will be, that'll be a left tackle. And the third or fourth round pick somewhere in there, they'll draft a center by trade in college football so they can start to groom him. Will they be able to start right away? I don't know. Maybe the first round pick, maybe he'll plug in play. Maybe he'll be that good because it looks like, and I'm not like an expert on offensive linemen, but when I look at how deep it goes in offensive linemen, I'm pretty sure they're going to get a pretty good one with that pick.
Okay, if you think plugging in a rookie left tackle to protect your $300 million quarterback that you're going to have to pay, and you want to take that chance opposed to ponying up to get Smith done, then that's on you. Now, look, there's other left tackles that's out there and that's still possible. In free agency.
Yeah, I don't that think maybe, that's what they want to do, but maybe that could be.
Maybe they're looking at some of those guys, too.
They might.
But it certainly doesn't look good for the Dallas Cowboys. They haven't done much in free agency.
They have not done
at all.
Much. And yet they pride themselves on building through the draft, and they pride Will McClay. He found these we just had three free agents that we talked about, undrafted free agents that we just talked about, and he found all three. He and his staff found all three of them, and I'm sure Jerry and Steven are sitting back stroking their chin saying, he'll go get us another really good one, then he'll find us another good one down the draft, and we'll be right back in business next year. And I beg to differ, because at some point, when you lose first ballot Hall of Fame, to your point, you lose high quality where you can't replace it. And all of a sudden, in game three or four, you're going to say, wait a second, we can't protect. He's getting sacked at a league-leading rate. What happened? Well, you didn't pay $20 million with incentives to keep Tyron Smith in Dallas. And then, Keyshawn, help me out here. And again, I pride myself on being an objective Cowboy fan. Sometimes
no,
I'm overly harsh Cowboy
fan. No, you're
fan.
Not objective, but go ahead.
Well, I am. Sometimes I go yeah, the please. Other way just to because I just can't take it. I can't swallow it anymore. But obviously, they cut Michael Gallup. And obviously, they had to cut Leighton Vander Esch because he just couldn't stay healthy with his neck injuries. But those are two players that they gave a lot of money to, and they were depending on certainly going into last year. And now, Biadasz goes to Dan Quinn in Washington. And a couple of the pass rushers, obviously Dorrance Armstrong and Dante Fowler, they go. So you've lost some depth in your rotation of pass rush. And then I look at this, and there's no more Tyron Smith. Well, at some point, you can sit back and stroke your chin and grin at this and say, we'll figure it out in the draft. But at some point, you're going to wake up next year, going in next year, when everybody else got a little to a lot better in your division, and you're going to say, wait a second, we're not up there. And Philadelphia, they're only going to keep plunging and plunging. And we both wait, did you talk about Devin White? I don't think you were here.
No, I wasn't
think
here,
Michael
Devin
and I,
White.
Hey, listen, I'm a big fan.
No, I talked about him on Thursday.
Yes. Oh, yeah, you brought it up on the list.
Told you on the list that the Cowboys need Devin White.
They
but
do.
Guess who went and got him?
The Eagles went and got him. And that's the first time I give you that. I didn't give it to you on Kevin Byard. I didn't give it to you on Shaq Leonard.
Well, they were struggling. Okay. This is a different defensive coordinator now than Vic Fangio.
Hey, Devin White can just flat out
rock only reason why he's out of Tampa is because of his attitude, and they didn't want to deal with it, nor did they want to pay him the type of money that he was looking for. So they pick and choose in Tampa who they wanted to keep at the linebacker position.
Yeah.
And he was the odd man out.
He's the odd man out, but you want to talk about wallop and impact when he is happy and right and he'll have a chip on his shoulder in Philadelphia. He will be an impact player for that defense. He will help them out significantly.
So are you scared now?
Yes, I'm scared of him and what he can bring to that defense
firepower. So you're scared now of Philly all of a sudden?
Well, Dallas should be a little more scared of Philly. Again, they lost six of their last seven games.
You're part of Dallas, so you should be scared.
I'm giving you Devin White. I haven't given you anything.
I'm not talking about last year because this is a different team makeup now.
Yeah.
These are two different coordinators.
I've gone all the way.
These are two different players now. They signed and Saquon Barkley was huge, whether you like it or not.
Doesn't scare me.
It doesn't scare you. Okay. With that running game, with Jalen healthy Hurts, and with those receivers, you're not afraid of the Philadelphia Eagles? That makes no sense to me, Skip.
Okay, here come the Commanders, because those are smart people who are ready to plunge, and they got money to plunge with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they will be much better next year than they were. They'll be much more competitive than they were.
Well, they moved on from their quarterback, too.
They did.
And
they
Sam sent Howell. Him to Seattle. So what does that tell you? That tells you they're going to draft a young quarterback as well.
They'd love to go Caleb. They'll go Jalen if they have to. It'll be one. And I don't know, maybe Drake May's in that since he's a Carolina kid. But whatever. The point is they're going to get better.
Yes.
The Giants are going to get better. They just will. They got Brian Burns. I don't care what you say. He is an impact pass rusher.
Yeah, that's one guy, though.
Okay, but Thibodeau across from him, so you got two guys. I don't know. All right, so the point is Dallas just seems to drift, and they're starting to erode in their overall talent base, and they lost 48-32 to Green Bay in a home playoff game, and they got exposed. And now they're getting more and more
exposed.
It was
worse than 48-32.
Well, it was 48-16 early in the fourth quarter. That's all you need to know. 48-16, and Dak threw for like 500 yards in the fourth quarter all garbage yards. Okay. You keep losing this kind of talent, and at some point it will come back to bite you in a division where they're going to get a little better and a little better. And Philadelphia, I give you this, they got some better. They got some better. I give you that. And for a while, they were 10-1 last year. They got to 10-1.
And they got better because they got experienced coordinators calling it.
I'll give you that.
They got better because of that. Okay. I'm not a big Vic Fangio fan like some of the people in the league.
I do like him.
But he's done some things.
He has.
Especially when he was with the 49ers and Harbaugh, the defense was lights out.
Especially against Dallas, he's done some things.
You got to think that defense is going to improve. And you got to think Kellen Moore, regardless to what you think about him because he was a Cowboy, his offense was pretty prolific.
Yeah.
Okay, with the Dallas Cowboys. They scored a lot of points and put up a lot of statistics. So I would think that he would be able to do some of those same things with Jalen Hurts and company.
I would agree with you. So the big picture here is I think we are teetering on missing the playoffs next year. That's what I believe. I just last night I woke up in the middle of the night and I said, wait a second. This is not good. This is not going in the right direction because you can build through the draft only so long. And then at some point when you got too many holes to plug and you keep saying all these holes on defense, we haven't even addressed.
Am I lying?
No, you're not lying. Yeah.
I ain't lying.
Yeah.
If I was lying, I'd tell you.
Yeah.
I think everybody can see it clearly.
Yeah.
What position have you addressed other than a long snapper?
None.
What have you addressed?
None. We've done nothing. And just when I thought Micah was ready to just take the league over, he did not take the league over. I don't care what you say. It wasn't what we thought. It wasn't what you thought. It definitely wasn't what I thought it would
be. Well, Mike Zimmer could help that.
I hope so.
He could help that.
Yeah.
I mean, he does well with edge rusher types.
Yeah.
And Anthony Barr was with him in Minnesota. Yeah. DeMarcus Ware early was with him in Dallas. I mean, he just something about his style of play, I mean, calling it, he helps guys like Micah Parsons.
Yeah. Look, Eric Kendricks is a nice player. He played for Zimmer. Mm-hmm. He's 32 years of age. He'll call the defense. He'll be the quarterback on the field. Is he an impact player? He's not an impact player.
That ain't my fault.
Not exactly a household name.
Not my fault.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this, crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right, Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right, VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids. Just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel. Fall back down.
Hey, look who's here. The truth is about to speak some truth about the Lakers and the Warriors and the Mavericks and Kyrie Irving. What a shot that was. Welcome back, 34.
What up? What
up? We missed you. All right, let's start with that abomination of a finish to the Lakers-Warriors game Saturday night. It was marred by a late 20-minute delay. This is a national TV game. Because of shot clocks that kept malfunctioning. With the Lakers? I don't know what that was about. Marred even worse by replay reversal of a LeBron three that I thought should have stood. His heel did not touch the floor out of bounds. But When play finally did resume after four stoppages, Steph immediately stole it from LeBron, pretty much ending a Lakers rally, and Warriors won by seven. Lakers fall once again into the 10th seed. I can't believe they're the 10th seed, the final play-in spot. It's unreal. So, Paul, what was your view of what happened here Saturday night in L.A.?
I mean, stuff happens, Skip. I mean, the shot clock, whatever. The replay, I don't like replay anyway. I think they need to do away with it. I think it takes too much time out of the game. Yeah, you want to get it right. You got three referees. Somebody has to get the call right. You know, and I think I've been a victim of replay in my day to where I thought I got a shot off. You can't even tell because the high resolution wasn't even that high.
You talking about on LeBron's? LeBron's shot?
Yeah. So I think you just take the replay out because it slows up the game. It messes with the fan. Like, I had to stop watching. I went to the bathroom, got a cup of coffee, and I just lost what I want to feel
about.
But
can you remember four stoppages off shot clocks malfunctioning?
Never. It just seemed like something.
I've never seen that.
Well, that's whatever technically was wrong, I mean, you really can't.
Okay, but you have a backup, and it malfunctioned.
Yeah,
so I don't know.
Wiring or something was wrong.
I don't know. But Keyshawn, it's the Lakers. Come on, get
man,
the first they mess up the language on the Kobe statue.
Stop,
I'm like, what are you doing?
Now y'all get me. I'm just a punching bag for the Lakers right now because Paul here and you here. So now we go.
I don't even know why we talking about the 10th seed Lakers anyway. Like, why are we even talking about them?
Touche.
Like, why are we talking about the 9th seed Golden State Warriors when there's other teams out there that needs some light put on them?
Well, you played in the NBA for like 20 years.
Like, I'm tired of the Lakers. Yeah, Lakers going to lose. LeBron's going to get 40. He's great at getting his stats. But the truth of the matter, Key, when I've been watching the Lakers this year, yes, LeBron's been great numbers-wise. But okay. LeBron got to take a step back.
Mm. And
he got to take a step back.
And do what?
He got to get the ball up a little more.
Yeah, I buy that.
No, listen. He's averaging since All-Star break. Look at his numbers. 29, 9, and 7. 57 from the field, 45 from 3. It's not resulting in wins.
Mm.
When LeBron sat out, who they beat? Milwaukee. A contender. D'Lo had 40.
They went to Boston
and got a win without LeBron.
But don't do this, though, Paul.
It is the truth.
I think he's older. He needs to take a step back. The less he does, the more it's going to be for the team. And that's not a bad thing.
Are you saying take a step back in terms
like
of
he's two ball dominant?
Yeah, but
he's two ball dominant. He need to let the reins go. He need to let D'Lo go. He need to let AD go. Reeves. It showed when they played, their two most impressive wins in the last 2 weeks have been Milwaukee and the Lakers. And LeBron didn't play in either one of them.
Boston.
I mean, in Boston. LeBron didn't play in either one of those.
That Boston was last year.
At Boston.
Yeah. Last year, man.
You don't go in Boston and just win.
Yeah, but Boston.
Reeves looked like the next Larry Bird without LeBron. I mean.
And by the way, Key, to his point, in the fourth quarter the other night, LeBron got up 8 shots and he made 5. But the point was.
It's not resulting in the win.
Austin Reeves took one shot in the fourth quarter the other night and made it, and that was it.
Whose fault is that?
Because LeBron is
the ball player. Is that the players on the court fault, Paul, that they just say, here you go?
He got a stranglehold on the offense. I think you could really release this offense if he did a little more swinging the ball, passing, maybe setting some screens. We don't need LeBron to get 30 like in the past. I think the less he does, the more for the team. And I think he's got to unlock these players. We're going to make an excuse for the Lakers. Like, oh, they need more. No, they don't. You got good role players. You got D'Lo. Reeves, like I said, you got Anthony Davis, who's a top 10 player.
But the role player shoots. Just last night, they shot 26%.
They don't got no rhythm. If I'm a role player and I'm sitting there all game and I don't get the ball till 2 minutes left, I'm really just getting cardio.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard for them to get a rhythm. Yeah, when LeBron don't play, they got rhythm because they're touching the ball. Even if you don't shoot the ball, if you're getting the ball swung to you, dribbling it, getting a feel for the ball, you can still somehow get a rhythm. That's the way the game of basketball goes.
Real quick, Key. So D'Lo, who scored 44 against Milwaukee here without LeBron, he's 8 of 15 going into the fourth quarter on Saturday night. But in the fourth quarter, he went 1 of 6 and looked completely out of sorts and out of rhythm because there was nothing that was coming to him on schedule. It was all
exactly.
Late clock, you know, oh, I got to jack this one. I got to throw it up.
Exactly.
And 1 of 6, and it didn't work. And I'm sure you're sitting back saying, where are you, right?
I was sitting back saying, where are you?
Yeah.
No question.
Okay. Now, the other one where you're saying, where are you, is Anthony Davis. And he got smacked in the eye, and it looked like it was swelling up and it was frozen. Okay. Could you have won the game if AD had been right in the second half?
Yeah.
Sure. I think he would have won the game. I'm pretty sure. Should he have sucked it up and tried to play? If it's the National Football League, you're probably going to play,
probably,
right?
You probably could put an eye patch on it. But as I asked Paul, who played in the NBA, is there any way to be able to put an eye patch on it and shoot with one eye?
Guys play with broken noses and masks. Yeah, it might affect his shooting or his trajectory from shooting at the rim. But there's effort plays you can make. That's not going to stop you from guarding, blocking shots.
That's a fact.
Making effort plays. You can still go out there. You know, I don't know how much pain he was in, or maybe I don't even know if he broke an eye socket.
You don't really know.
I don't really know. And so,
okay, has he had a long history of little knick-knack injuries? Has he been injury prone? Yes, he has.
Absolutely. But it's bad luck, though.
Yep.
That's all it is. He can't buy a break. I'm just being honest with you.
How many guys did you play with who just couldn't buy a break, right?
Yeah, but football is a little bit different than basketball.
Yep.
It's just a little bit different. It's almost like we expect to have certain injuries and nicks and bruises and bumps. I don't necessarily know in basketball if that's the case. You know, it is a rough sport. I played enough basketball to know it's rough. It's not easy on them. Them big old dudes running into you and slapping down on your hands and stuff like that. But for some reason, he just is always in a bad spot. He's just always in a bad. I don't know what it is. It's just like he needs a lucky rabbit foot in his back pocket or something, because it's just something always happening to him.
I mean, the fact of the matter that we're sitting here spending 10 minutes on the Lakers.
Yes, that's what we're going to do.
They're not
a
contender. They might not even be a playoff team.
So you're going to tell me, though, the Lakers this year, at times, you didn't look at them, Paul, and say, man, they might, if they could just get this Gabe Vincent back.
No. So this year was all about LeBron getting 40,000 points, breaking the scoring record. It's about him continuing to move the needle as an older player. You know, as far as winning?
So you don't think that they have a healthy roster? If they had a healthy roster from beginning to end with Vanderbilt and Gabe Vincent, plus everything else that they had.
I'm asking. So those two players is going to move the needle.
You said role players?
Yeah, but they're not moving.
Gabe Vincent can hit them shots like he was hitting the Miami for us.
Why aren't they better? LeBron is having a great year. AD statistically is having a great year.
By the way, LeBron is shooting 41% from three. That's his career high.
They have to do less. They have to do less.
Yeah. So
if you want to unlock these role players, you got to do less.
I'm not going to argue with you.
We're the stat conscious era. LeBron know how to get his stats.
I don't think it's all about the statistics for LeBron.
But it's about, how do you win now? How do I make these guys better? Yeah, you can get the 8-9 assists. But, like, when you have no rhythm as role players, you can't unlock them. Why are they so much better, the role players, without LeBron?
No, that's a fair question.
Why are they so much better without LeBron?
All right, but
because
Paul, obviously,
scared.
Yeah, the team is not better without LeBron.
The team is not better, but the role players are.
Right.
So I'm saying, though, if he did a little less on the offensive end, less holding the ball, maybe set a few screens for some of them, maybe went to the post, maybe got off the ball a little more, it may open up the offense.
I'm
not going to argue with a Hall of Fame NBA basketball player about opening up no offense in the NBA. I'm just telling you, as a fan, what I'm watching is they feel like, to me, they're scared of LeBron. They don't want to do something to make him feel a certain way.
Well, ain't nobody going to be like, hey, swing it, LeBron.
Why not?
Ain't nobody going to be over there. Give me.
Why not?
Because that's LeBron. They all got posters of LeBron in their room growing up. Come on.
So then, to me, that's on the coach.
What the coach going to say to LeBron?
It's about saying it to the mother dudes.
Yeah.
Okay?
Keyshawn.
Is it okay to...
He got such a stranglehold and such a presence. He got such a presence. What do you... You don't go up to LeBron and look at him and be like, hey, I was open. They're not even going to say
that. Keyshawn, you know why I value this man's opinion?
He played. Okay. I value it.
Not only did he play, but in my time of watching LeBron as carefully as I have,
I don't
want to
hear nothing about Paul gave him fits and all.
He gave him fits.
He gave him fits. But that ain't what we're talking about.
Nobody went at him. Nobody went at him better than this man went at him.
He's from L.A. I don't want to hear that, though. Well, I don't want to hear that. He's got a certain personality and a certain mindset. He don't play no more. He old like me. I don't care about that. I'm talking about what LeBron is doing right now.
Yeah, for about 10 years, this man gave LeBron fits.
Yes, he did a good job. Yeah.
All right, so I value what he's saying because he saw it eye to eye, about as up close and personal as you can see it. Yeah, there we go. All right. Now, Paul, back to you. The reason we're talking about the Lakers is because they came out of the 10th seed last year, and you look up, and they're in the conference final against Denver, and they're taking them to the wire four straight times, but they can't close it because LeBron tries to close, but Austin Reeves got a hot hand, and he's not getting shots up, and LeBron stunk in those four fourth quarters. He just did. He couldn't get a hot hand going.
You won't see that this year, Skip. Yeah. I'll tell you why they went to the conference finals, because after such a dismal year before the trade, there was excitement. You know, when you get a new pair of shoes or a new car, there's excitement around it, and then it wears off. It was an excitement around the trade to where everybody got excited and enjoyed playing with each other. There was new energy in the building, and they rode that to the conference finals. Yeah. Now everything is settled in. We're seeing who the Lakers really are. We won't see them make it to the conference finals again the way they're playing. They're 6-6 since the All-Star, but you're a 500 team.
All right, if it were starting today.
But they actually was better. They actually was better than that 6-6 about a week and a half ago.
Yeah, they had a little run.
They had a nice little clip. But you got two top 10. You got two top 10 NBA players in LeBron and AD.
Why is that not resulting in wins?
That's what I'm asking. That's what I'm
saying.
You giving me all of LeBron. They need to, he needs to get off the ball.
He needs to scale back. I keep saying it.
He scaled back the other night.
What other night? He had 40 other night.
No. He scaled back two games ago,
he had 23,
Skip?
23,
And he had 10 in the first half or something like that?
But Keyshawn, as you know, AD needs to scale up. You know, like there are too many nights he doesn't scale up, right?
Exactly.
I can't argue with you. I guess, Paul, I'm trying to fight. I'm fighting.
I mean, that's the only way I see this Laker team unlocking this potential.
Okay.
I mean, the number's not going to lie.
So last year, they get Golden State in the conference semis. And it wasn't really that close. It went six games, but it never felt that close.
No.
Okay, so can they go, if it's ended today, they'd have to go up to Golden State and win one game just to survive and advance in the play-in tournament, right? Mm-hmm.
With a healthy AD, they can't do it?
I don't think they can beat them. Okay. Their defense, I don't like their defense.
The Lakers' defense.
I don't like the Lakers' defense. Yeah. I got more confidence in Golden State. They're Golden State, 8-5 since the playoffs. They look like they're turning into something. I don't know if they're a contender. They're playing somewhat defense with Draymond. I just don't see the Lakers
doing it. You know what?
As an NBA player, you say LeBron needs to scale back.
I do.
So if he says I'm going to scale back, can the Lakers do anything?
I think so. I think you need
to. But can you, I guess is the question.
I think,
can you scale back at this point in the season?
I don't think so. I think you are who you are. When it comes down to 15 games left, Key, you are who you are. I mean, you can look at the tape. You can say LeBron do this, but this is LeBron's team. You can say one thing, but nothing's going to change. If you say, all right, LeBron, go to the corner. We want D-Lo to get a couple more pick and rolls with AD. You know, we want to put the ball in Austin Reeves' hands a little more down the stretch. That's not happening right now. Not happening. And saying that he has a stranglehold on this offense that can only be locked if he's willing to risk doing things like that. How you going to ask LeBron, go set a screen on Austin Reeves?
Why not?
Go set a screen on, because LeBron, I'm going to be like, set a screen for him? Nah, give me that. Nah, young fella,
what you suggested to me is LeBron doesn't want to win a championship if he's not willing to do that.
Well, he knows this is not a championship squad.
See, I don't think so. I think we can.
This is not a championship squad. So since we're not a championship squad, I'm going to go out here and break every record. You know, I've been on losing teams. Okay, I know we're not a playoff team or a winning team. So, let me make sure I'm still going to make the All-NBA get this 25 and make it look good.
But this is the same team from a year ago.
Until we figure it out.
It's the same team from a year ago, though.
They had a good run. They got lucky. They made a run off the energy of the trade. That energy is worn off, Key. It's over.
We weren't even good last year after the trade.
They were good after the trade.
No, we were not. We were not good after the trade.
At the end of the year, they started playing well.
LeBron didn't even play toward the end of the year, I believe. If my mind is correct, I don't think he even played much at the end of the year. So we got better in the playoffs, but once we made that trade, we was trying to figure everything out still. So you telling me the same team, essentially, with a couple players here and there, can't make a run out of the 10th seed, go to Golden State, or if we stay there, go to Golden State, pop them with a healthy AD?
Nope.
And also, here's the other advantage LeBron has over Golden State. They don't have a rim protector. They don't have Looney. So the other night, the reason he scored 13 early in the fourth quarter, he just bully balled them. He just puts his head down. And when he goes, there's no Draymond can't stop. I mean, he can do the best he can, but to
stay
get his way.
Trouble.
But still, they don't have anybody who can just say, no, you can't come in here.
Right.
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 And yet they're playing defense as a team at a higher level than they have. And I respect that because they've been on a pretty good roll of late.
Damn, Paul, right? Man, you kill me off, man.
Don't worry about the Lakers because coming the end of April.
Don't worry about them.
At the end of April, we won't be talking about the Lakers.
Now, you'll still talk about the Lakers.
No.
So you don't want us to, but we're going to
okay,
still talk about the Lakers.
So are you saying they won't get out of the play-in? Is that what you're saying? They won't.
I don't think they're getting out of the play-in.
Whew. And by the way, the plan is now at this moment, it is loaded. It is.
You might have Lakers, Phoenix, Dallas, and Golden State all in the play-in.
That's what you're going to have. Unless the Kings fall back in there, and that'd be even more problems for the Lakers.
Two of your favorite superstars won't be in the playoffs.
Who?
I'm just saying two of them.
No.
Who?
Well, if you got Lakers, Dallas, Phoenix.
Yeah, somebody's out.
Golden State. Yeah. Two of your favorite superstars not going to be in the playoffs.
That is correct. Very good point.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, Keyshawn, now that the Bears have traded, or should I say given away, Justin Fields, what should they do now with that first overall pick? What would you do?
Who's my guy? I need to figure out who's my guy. Is my guy Caleb Williams, or is my guy Jaden Daniels? So if Washington says they want, and we really believe that they want Caleb Williams, and we really are lukewarm, unlike him, whatever, but we love Jaden Daniels. But I'm okay with either one. If I could somehow flip Washington to move up to one, and I still get my guy at two because I'm happy with either one of those two. And I can get some extra from Washington.
Sure.
Then I'm good with that. Or do I think Drake May is the guy and I'm sitting at one and New England decides that they want to come up to one, but I think I can get any of the three at three from New England, but New England wants to get a quarterback, and they love one of the three, but I'm happy with one of the three, and I can trick any of them two teams, Washington or New England, to move up to one.
That's a good word, trick.
Yeah, trick them into it to believe that we're going to take what they want, but I'm happy with all three. Then I'll try to get extra picks out of this because I need to build my roster. But if I'm convinced that Caleb Williams is the guy, then I'm going to take him. But if I'm not convinced, but I like Jaden Daniels, and I know Washington loves Caleb because Cliff Kingsbury's there and all of that. Let's get on the phone. Let's have a conversation.
Okay.
And let's talk about this.
What if Washington dares you? What if they play chicken with you and say, no, we don't believe you're going to take Caleb. We good. We'll just sit right here. We'll sit at two, and we'll see what you leave on the table.
Then, okay? But I got to be convinced that I'm okay with any of the three.
Mm.
And if I'm okay with any of the three, then if I can't move it, then I'll go to New England and say, hey, well, you want to move it to number one spot? You want to move that up to the number one spot?
Yep.
And then New England will say, well, yeah, maybe. What's it going to cost? So I think they're sitting in a sweet spot to get something extra out of it. Because for me, when I'm looking at it, I love Jaden Daniels. I think he's the best quarterback.
But you knew him growing up.
I knew him growing up. I think he's the best quarterback of them. I've watched him. I watched his growth. I've watched everything. He throws a pretty ball.
He does.
And when you're talking about his skill set.
And you watched him even at Arizona State
when he was there with Herm Edwards and Marvin Lewis and company. And I've seen him at LSU. And under, you know how hard it is to play for Kelly at the quarterback position? But to be able to, in that conference, dominate the way that he has in 2 years and then winning the Heisman. There's only one other quarterback. I know they didn't win a national championship, but there's only one other quarterback that went to LSU, by the way, and Joe Burrow that you look at and you go, oh, man, he dominated the SEC like that?
He did.
And so you look at Jaden Daniels.
By the way, quick point, Mel Kiper on his big board, I believe, I didn't look this up again this morning, I think he has those two LSU receivers in his top seven overall players.
That may be the truth. Okay. Joe Burrow had those two.
He did.
And so did Bryce Young. Yep. And so you're going to have great skill position players. Carson Palmer was loaded with him at USC. I'm not taking anything away from the quarterbacks when they have receivers. That's just part of the deal. They make you, you make them. But people are saying with Jaden Daniels is slight. Okay, yeah, he's slight. And Bryce Young was tiny.
Slighter.
And he played in the same conference.
Yeah.
So when people start to say that, I'm like, but now all of a sudden he's slight. But this other guy was a can't miss in Bryce Young, and he's smaller than Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
So I like him. The problem that I have for any quarterback that doesn't have a big, strong arm for Chicago is when the winter comes and that thing turns, that weather, because you got to go to Green Bay. Okay? You got to play eight games. I think that's about right. At least eight games at home, depending on what year it is. You're playing eight games at home.
And about four of them are going to be
at least six, because the weather changes quick in Chicago.
I live there. I know it.
So who can pierce through that weather when we decide to throw? And we go on the road to a freezing Green Bay. Who can pierce in that weather?
Well, Jaden's an L.A. kid. I don't know.
So you got to factor all those things in there. But I'm going to play a game with New England and Washington to see what I can get.
Okay. Is it fair to say that at this moment in time, you're still not sold on your USC quarterback and Heisman winner, Caleb Williams?
It's not that I'm not sold. I just like Jaden Daniels better.
Okay.
It's like you saying, I like ice cream, but I just vanilla is one flavor, but I like vanilla bean. It's richer to me.
Okay.
That's all.
All right. I believe Caleb will be better than Justin Fields or Jaden Daniels. So I think they have to take Caleb, but I'm not sure they're going to. And I was told that they're still very undecided about where to go, that they were not sold on Caleb coming out of the combine with all the controversy swirling around him and his father. He did measure taller than I thought he would because the 6'1 was pretty good because he's got a nice power base.
Mm-hmm.
Big legs, strong sort of core. The reason I like him is he's a special playmaker. That can be a good thing and a really bad thing because, to your point, he is off schedule and off platform constantly. He is much more comfortable outside the pocket to a fault where he breaks the pocket.
You just had that guy.
Yeah.
You just had the off schedule guy that you didn't like.
Justin.
That rushed for 800 yards or whatever
this
year.
Caleb's a much better thrower than football.
I get that. But if he's such an off schedule guy. Yeah. In college.
But as you know, Caleb doesn't go off schedule to run. He goes off schedule to make some wild throw, throwing play.
Yeah, and then you know the guy with the full beard that I always talk about?
No,
the guy traps up to his bottom of his earlobe?
Yeah, with the car seat.
With the car seat in the back of that SUV.
I know those guys.
He's about 31 years old trying to get to the next deal.
Yeah.
He's going to be chasing you.
Yeah.
Not the dude from Santa Margarita High School. It's a totally different situation.
There's just something. Caleb has it factor to me. He came out to Hollywood and immediately took Hollywood over and won the Heisman Trophy. And if you'd had a semblance of defense, they might have been a player in the national championship run. You might have. You had enough weapons on offense. But you had our defensive coordinator that stinking Lincoln brought from Oklahoma, the Grinch who stole football, and you know what happened. And so Caleb kept losing 55-54 to Utah. But he would put up 54. And he would play hurt against Utah the second time around where he's dragging his hamstring around. Mm-hmm. Listen. He stepped on the football field for my Oklahoma Sooners against Texas. The pressure is extreme at the Cotton Bowl with half Oklahoma, half Texas. He walked right onto the football field as a pure freshman, a true freshman, and took it over. I'd never seen anything quite like it, and I believe he'll do the same thing to the National Football League. I'm not going to go to first ballot Hall of Famer. I won't even go to Hall of Famer. I just think he'll be very good in the National Football League. And we're about to talk about the 2021 draft, and you see what a disaster it's starting to look like. I still think he will be the best of this group. And I know Drake May gets a lot of love. I don't love him. I watched him 4 or 5 times. I don't love his poise, his command of the position. I know he's got all the measurables because he's got the size and he's a pure pocket passer. I don't love him. I wouldn't bet on him for the long haul. So I don't know if they're thinking, well, let's go with the tried and true pocket passer in the cold in Chicago. Let's go with that. I don't know. They might just talk themselves into oblivion.
I don't think they're going to talk themselves into that because he wears Mitch Trubisky's number in North Carolina.
Good point.
And I'm sure when they're looking at that, they probably said, yeah, it's probably not the smartest move on our part. But I understand Caleb, he did well against Texas and Oklahoma.
He did.
Some of the big games has nothing to do with the defensive side of the ball in Grinch at USC.
Yeah.
Didn't play well in some of those big games. When I look at the Notre Dame game from this year.
Yeah, I know. You were there.
And I'm standing on the side.
Yeah.
It didn't look great.
Okay.
That's just one.
Paul Pierce, you took off for a second, but as he walked off this set after we just did the NBA topic, he turned and started talking about Caleb, and he said he went, remember, you also went to the game in Boulder, the USC game, you were there, and Paul Pierce was there with Dion and company standing on the sideline. And Paul's point, I'm not speaking out of school because it's a good one, he just said, by the second half, I'm thinking Shadur's just going to be better in the NFL than Caleb. And I agree with that. Shadur is special.
So when you mention...
Because he's pure pocket.
When you mention the Colorado game, this is a team, you only can name one, you can name two people on defense.
Yeah. Well, I can name one.
No, you can name two.
Yeah. Oh, Travis. Yeah, that's right.
Travis Hunter.
Travis and Shiloh.
And Shiloh.
Yeah, that's good.
That's it. You don't know nobody else on the defense. And he had some moments where you was like,
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Yeah, I did. I had a couple moments.
And that's not taken away from anything because I could also go to Josh Allen in Wyoming, and he didn't look great at Wyoming, but he didn't have nothing.
No.
These guys was not very good.
No, I watched him against Iowa because it was the only credible team they played, and he wasn't very good.
So I don't look at it from that standpoint. I try to look at it and project it as a pro performer.
Yeah.
I also look at when you are in college and you are in a system that it's a throw every time. Very few runs, although Lincoln Riley runs the ball a little bit more than most people that run the air raid system.
Yeah.
Runs it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost like that skill set has to transfer to the National Football League and train it all over again.
True.
And the first thing people are going to say, well, Patrick Mahomes, let's stop that. Because Patrick Mahomes wasn't supposed to go in the first round until Andy Reid said, I could do something with that. Him and John Dorsey, who was the general manager at the time, made a decision after they worked Patrick Mahomes out. They said, shh, don't say anything. We like him. Don't say anything.
And then they traded up.
And then they traded up to get him because they didn't want him to fall and then somebody else had the same mindset.
No.
That's all I'm saying. So when I look at that, I'm like, so Washington could potentially be the better fit than Chicago.
I would agree.
Does Chicago know what to do with a Caleb Williams? Mm. Do they know what to do? Are they going to try to make him Matthew Stafford? Or are they going to try to make him Geno Smith or somebody like that?
Yeah.
You know, to fit what they do.
And I do think his father will attempt to strong arm them into letting him go to Washington because they'll make it clear, we're not going to play. We're going to go Elway, Eli on you, and we're going to force you to move us to Washington.
I mean, you got to be careful, though. you got to be careful because one thing that these owners in the National Football League, they don't like is for you to try to bully them. They don't like that.
But Elway and Eli got away with it.
But guess what? Elway had other options. He could go play for the Yankees.
He
could have went and played baseball. Well, Eli Manning, on the other hand, that was, you know, Manning and Archie and Peyton and manipulated. And I don't know that Caleb has that ability to manipulate it that way.
I agree. To Paul Pierce's point, Shadur, if he were in this class, which he could be in this draftable class, if he didn't want to go back and help his father maybe make the playoffs next year, if he were on the table right now, I think he would be a slam dunk first pick in the draft. I do.
I don't know. He will be a first pick, but I don't know if it would be the first pick of the draft because I still like Jaden Daniels.
Okay. All right.
Next year, for sure, he'll be talked about as the number one guy.
Yeah. The other thing I like about Shadur is his toughness.
Of course.
He got rocked last year.
Of course.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And he just kept jumping up and pointing to his watch and saying, here we go again, right?
Not the watch. Not the old watch.